All About the House, the one-hour how-to radio show with expert advice on how to keep your place humming here on Lake 88.1.
And welcome again to another edition of All About the House on Lake 88.1. I'm Brian Perkin. Well, today we're sort of outside the house and looking at a number of insects and plants and animals that are threatening our woodlands, waterways, and wildlife in some instances. David Dukiewicz is with us. He's of the Invasive Species Center in Sault Ste. Marie. He'll be discussing some of the new arrivals that are crowding out and devastating some of the native species in our area and their ecosystems as well. And we'll also be profiling some interesting animals and insects today, including the forest tent caterpillar, zebra mussels, and the new Asian giant murder hornet among those. And with that, we like to welcome into our, our phone studio guest this morning. He's talking to us from Sault Ste. Marie, David Dukiewicz with us. And David, welcome to Lake 88.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
How are things in Sault Ste. Marie this morning?
Things are a little bit foggy, but other than that, it's supposed to be a beautiful day today.
Yeah, okay. Well, that sounds great. Well, David, thanks for getting up early on a Saturday morning to be part of the show with us and talk about the invasive species and the center in Sault Ste. Marie as well. David, let's first of all talk about you as an entomology technician with the center. How does one become an entomology technician? Maybe talk a little bit about your background education-wise.
Well, first off, when I started from high school, I had no idea what what entomology was, let alone how to become one. So I went to the University of Algoma and in Sault Ste. Marie, and there I went to work as a summer student through the FSWEP program at the Great Lakes Forest Research Center, which is also in Sault Ste. Marie. It's part of five centers across Canada, that the federal government monitors forest activity on a federal level. As well, from there, I did my undergrad in biology, and I worked to do my forestry diploma at Sioux College. And after that, I went into the University of Guelph, where I did my master's in environmental science, and I was looking at emerald ash borer effects to forest habitat in the Chatham-Kent-London area.
Okay, so a well-rounded education and some real-life experience in a number of areas, including, as you said, the emerald ash borer that we're going to be talking about, I think, later this morning as well. David, you're with the Invasive Species Center in Sault Ste. Marie. Talk a little bit, if you could, about what the center is all about, how it's funded, and its role.
Sure. So the Invasive Species Center is a not-for-profit organization that was started by both the federal and the provincial governments to tackle and look at different invasive species. The Invasive Species Center is funded by several different types of governments. So it's funded by the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, the Canadian Forest Services, the Department of Fisheries and Oceans, and the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry. Those collective group get together and put money into the Invasive Species Center so that we can do outreach programs like this today, as well as different help with certain eradication programs, and to really get the boots on the ground, to get the public involved, and to help them identify invasive species before they become problematic.
Right, okay. It's interesting that you've got so many partners there, but as you went through that list, each of those, of course, has a bit of a vested interest in what you're doing as well, because invasive species can do everything, such as, damage crops, cause hardships in the woodlands, etc. So I kind of see where the partners are coming from to make sure that you folks are funded and doing the job that you're doing. How big of a staff would be in the center?
Currently, we have about 16 staff members, and I think we're adding a couple more to do the DFO West project, which is a department, which is a group that's looking at expanding to Western Canada in order to look at their invasive species problems. So currently, right now, we're sort of base focused on Ontario, but we're looking to expand both east and west in order to provide invasive species knowledge throughout Canada.
Right. Okay. So again, a partnership going on there.
Yeah.
Well, David, as we have you for this 1 hour this morning, we're going to be going through a number of invasive insects. We'll also be talking about how these invasive species actually get into Canada. And we'll talk a little bit about, especially since we have the 100 lakes within 50 miles of Perth, Smiths Falls, Carlton Place, about zebra mussels. And we'll also tackle, if we have time as well, the forest insects. I think what we'll start with, if you don't mind, David, is one of the topics that we've been getting a lot of calls on, and that is the Asian giant hornet, the murder hornet, as it's called. I guess a real hot topic with the public right now, and in fact, that's how we kind of hooked up with you. You answered some of the questions of one of our listeners who had thought that they had one of these murder hornets in their home, I guess it was. First of all, let's talk about this this Asian giant hornet. Where is it coming from specifically, and what are we looking at here, David? Sounds kind of an ominous creature.
It does sound like an ominous creature. It is, like most hornets, if you disturb their nest, they get pretty aggressive. So that's one of the things that makes the Asian, the giant Asian hornet, or the Asian giant hornet, pretty potent, I guess, as a species. Its native range is from pretty much from Asia, so the southern part of Asia, through to Japan, so China, India, and those types of areas, and just straight up into Japan. It came over to Canada and also into the United States. We're not exactly sure how it got here. We're assuming it might have got here from different types of international shipping trade. These hornets, when they get expelled from the nest, most like all hornets, they get expelled from the nest in the wintertime. So what they like to do is they like to hide underneath a lot of different things. So it could have come over in just packaging that has just been sitting in a shipping yard, or and it just got brought over, and it just one solitary species, one female, just got over, and then she started to lay her brood in Canada. We're not really too sure exactly how it came over, but we know that when it did show up in BC, the first initial wave in Nanaimo, BC, was taken care of by local beekeepers.
Okay. When you say taken care of, what did they do?
So beekeepers are fantastic people. They will go into an area and they will look at the bees or the hornets that are there, and they use a different carbon dioxide sort of mist or smoke that goes over these areas. And what those do is the carbon dioxide will slow and start to kill the hornets. And when that happens, they can go in and remove the honeycomb or the paper where their larva is being grown.
Okay.